Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Network Marketing Mastery Podcast, episode 22. You did it.
I did it.
She did it. She did something insane. And before you dive in, I've got several questions, but
Some people don't even know what it was that I did.
That's true. If you didn't listen to our last episode, Shantae decided to run, like a little over a week ago, 26.2 miles on the day after Christmas, which was today.
Yeah. And I have never run a marathon before. So this was a very big goal, really out there. I didn't really believe that I am even capable of running a marathon, but I decided to break it up throughout the day and do shorter runs every hour throughout the whole day. And it was insane.
Yeah, and you did it. 26.3 even.
Yeah, I went a little bit further.
So I have to just start by saying that I'm blown away by you.
Thank you.
And I think you're amazing. Because when you really decide that you're going to do something, nothing stops you, you know?
Thank
and
you.
I love watching that about you. And I know that there are reasons that you did it for you. Really was all for you. So why don't we talk a little bit about the experience, how it was, and I'll ask some questions, but
awesome.
I just love you.
Thank you so much. I really feel blown away by me too, right? Like,
yeah.
In the beginning, I felt like I really wanted to feel blown away by myself. Like, I wanted to just blow my own mind and, like, what I could do and what I didn't think was possible. And I really did that today. I feel like there were so many points at which it was even more challenging than I thought it would be. I knew it would be challenging. I don't think I was too naive to that. But when you're just experiencing the discomfort of the pain of it, it just feels more intense, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel so grateful to have had the opportunity to show myself that I'm capable of way more than I thought possible, because I feel like that can just really move me forward into the new year with more purpose, more power, more discipline in my life. So I feel excited.
Yeah, you mentioned in the last episode this idea of having to be disciplined each time that you left the house, like having to do that repeatedly, even though you really didn't want to. Do you feel like you experienced that?
Totally. Yeah. I felt like running 26 miles, obviously, or 26.2, like in an actual marathon, is a sign that you've been disciplined.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because you have to go out like day in and day out with rest days, obviously, where you're training, you're putting in the miles, you're putting in the time, you're putting in the effort. And you're required to be disciplined about it. So this was very different because obviously I didn't put in the training time. Really all I was comfortable running before that was about 2 miles,
mm-hmm.
right? I knew I could run 3 or 4, but that would be pushing it for me. And so every hour I knew that I was going to be required, I'd be bumped up against this hard thing. Like, oh, I don't want to do that, I'm sore. Or I'm tired, I've already run 10 miles, I don't want to do that again and again and again. Like, after running 10 miles, it's already so much, then there's still 16 more, right? And so, yeah, being bumped up against that, like, threshold of I don't really want to do this, but then still choosing, nope, this is what I decided, I'm going to do it anyway, really helped me to feel disciplined.
Yeah. One of the things that I witnessed was how prepared you were. So, like, we talk about doing big things, doing crazy things, but it's not something that, it was something that was kind of last minute.
Yeah, and I didn't prepare in the sense that I trained.
You didn't train, but you did prepare with many different tools to help support you. You had, how many ice baths did you do?
4.
Like, you had ice enough for 4 ice baths. You had lots of deep blue. You had
a huge tub.
You had purchase knee braces, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, warm gloves.
Yeah,
you had sure I could run comfortably.
New earmuff things that played music for you.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought that was a good lesson that I learned from watching you, from witnessing it, was like, you can do hard things, you can do really crazy things, and you can do it last minute, But a little bit of preparation, like,
can go a long way.
Can make a big difference.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I think I learned that too today. There were so many times when I was so grateful for the foam roller.
Mm.
And I'm not a person who foam rolls. I just did a lot of research on recovery and how to recover faster from running and things like that, because I knew that I would desperately need recovery time if I was to do this. And that was one of the main ones, was foam rolling.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, there were times when I didn't believe I could go run another mile. Uh-huh. And I foam rolled, and like the first half of that next mile was fine.
Wow.
Right? Amazing. So, yeah.
So a couple other, can I ask a couple questions?
Please.
So we've been teaching people on this podcast a lot about mindset and how your action comes from your emotion, which comes from your thoughts. So I saw you post in your stories a little bit about like asking yourself the question, like, what do I need to think right now? Or what do I need to feel? What do I need to feel right now to take this action? But I didn't see an answer.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, what did you choose to think, feel?
So when I was talking about that, I was illustrating like all of the things that were like going wrong in my mind, right? Like my knees were really hurting. My hips were hurting. I was feeling tired. And I still had a lot of miles to go, right? Yeah. At that point, I think we were at, like, I still had 7 miles left to run. Mm. 7 or 8 miles left to run. And so I was feeling annoyed, frustrated, concerned, worried. I think my largest one was, like, I don't know. My largest thought was, I don't know if I should go on if I have knee pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's interesting is, I know, because I've taught this so many times, that anytime you have I don't know in your thought line, like you're thinking, I don't know if, you just decide that you do know and you just decide an answer, right? And so when I think, I don't know if I should, that doesn't serve me at all. That just leaves a whole bunch of questions up that makes it so I'm way more likely to just give up, right? But in that space, I could decide, you know what? I know that I'm capable of running with some knee pain. I did it in my half marathon. I've done it before. I've done cheer competitions with knee pain. Like, I know that I can do this, right? And so I just choose to do it with some knee pain. And so I just amped up my protection on the knee pain, mm-hmm. right? That's when I got out the knee braces. That's when, I called my dad to get some advice from him. My dad is like, currently running a lot, but he's been
the running king of the world.
He has done 2 ultra marathons, which is 50 milers, many marathons, which are the 26.2. So I really look up to him when it comes to running and being athletic. And, you know, he reminded me, you know, the track is softer than asphalt. You should probably start running on the track. And so at that point, I shifted from running in our neighborhood to going to the close by track and just running a bunch of miles there. And that helped so much.
Mm. I love that.
So it was just a decision.
So for those of you listening, like in your business, it's like you're going to be uncomfortable sometimes when you're inviting people, for example, to take a look at your products or your business, or when you're coaching people through stressful things. Like, there's going to be moments of discomfort. And sometimes you just have to make the decision, like, and remember, I can do uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
I think that's a powerful realization.
Yeah. So when I just decided to think I'm going to do this with some knee pain and I'm going to amp up my like protection and support around it, that created certainty, mm-hmm. right? When you feel like decided, you have more certainty.
Yeah.
And so then it was just more of a choice. And I remember at that point, like I had even asked you, because you came out to bring me some electrolytes and like a roller or something, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you really think that this is a good idea? And you're like, you said something like, you're already at 20. Like you can do more. Like you can do 6 more miles, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes even like hearing somebody else believe enough in you, because I had heard plenty of times you being like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you really want to do this? I don't really know if you can do this without getting injured.
Let's not injure yourself.
Yeah. And so 20 miles in, having the person who, you know, I had heard some skepticism from say, no, I really think you could do this.
Yeah.
It just made it a little bit easier for me to be like, yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So a question around that I thought of was, you were pretty isolated.
Yeah.
Like I had three little kids running around the house. And so I was not like the ideal spouse. Like they're cheering you on every mile, right? You did most of it alone. And I know you were posting on social media, got some messages in that way. But I imagine it felt kind of isolating at times.
Yeah.
And lonely.
Yeah.
Did you?
So I didn't listen to music the first, like, I don't even remember when I started, maybe like 10 or 11 miles. Yeah, 11 miles. Mm-hmm. But then maybe it was 10, because 10 was a really hard point for me. It was around there. And that helped to kind of pick me up a little bit. But even then, like, the music just kind of started bugging me.
Yeah.
So I actually started listening to my own stories that I had posted on Instagram. Mm. Because in my stories, I was like talking about why I was doing it. I was talking about, I had like said a couple quotes, you know, of people who I really admire, who believe things that I really believe in, who believe things, who promote things that I believe. And, like also just like seeing myself hit mile 10 and it be really hard and just being like, wow, like I care about you. You're doing it. You know, I'm just like feeling that. And then like having mile 13 where I'm just like so insanely elated because I've hit a record. I had never in my life run more than 13.1 miles.
Yeah, you know.
Right. So then just feeling that again, like, oh yeah, like I'm doing it. Yeah. It just kind of helped to elicit more of that emotion in me.
Wow.
Right. And then by like later on, I continued to talk about just some whys, like some reasons behind it, like in my stories. Yeah. And so it was cool for me because I got to motivate myself.
Wow. That's funny. That's not funny. It's interesting. You know, you do this Ideal Life Vision workshop, which we'll talk more about in future episodes. But we learned from that your own voice is your most powerful and believable voice.
Yes.
And so to hear yourself affirming to yourself why over and over again, it makes a lot of sense that would be so powerful. And it's interesting, even my podcast, when I started my podcast back in the day, like I would listen to every single episode like two or three times. One, to analyze how I could improve in my speech or in my storytelling or conversations or techniques or whatever, but also just to keep me motivated to keep doing it. To be like, wow, that was actually pretty good.
Like, yeah, I like my advice to myself.
I need to keep doing that, or I need to remember that principle or that. Yeah. And so I really understand that. And all of you listeners, you'll have an opportunity to create a tool with us in the future where you can experience that for yourself and your business.
Yeah, but I didn't have like in my personalized ideal life vision.
Sure.
My marathon.
Sure.
Because it was just such a last minute thing.
Yeah.
I probably could have created like a short version of that just to be able to listen to. So my stories really acted as that.
Kind of became that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, what else? Give me like a highlight before we end things. Like, so you had a friend.
A
friend come at the end.
Yeah. So
before
I talk about that, I wanted to throw out that my daughter Skye came out with me on mile 11, which 10 was like my hardest mile.
That was a big like turning point in terms of like difficulty level.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to come with you. And she got her bike. I remember like right before that, I was just bending down at my, I actually posted this story. Like I was bending down at my shoelaces tying. And I was like, Matt, just like film me for a second. I just need to like share something.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm getting out late and I'm feeling really concerned. Right. Like 10 hurt me so bad. And so like, could I do 11? I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, my 6-year-old daughter's like, I'm coming with you. And she rode her bike. And I have a couple of video clips of her being like, let's do this. And she was just so motivating and so adorable. And we got to chat the whole time. Mm. That really helped me a lot. And then at the very end, so miles 22, 23, and 24 were really difficult for me. I felt like my legs were lead. They couldn't move very well. My knees were hurting. By like mile 24, because I had planned actually only running two in a row.
Yeah.
But then I went ahead and just did a third one in a row. And I feel like it was because my knees, like they got so tight. They actually didn't hurt quite as much. Like they were just so stiff that I could just kind of shuffle. And so miles like 23 and 24, literally my like shoes were just kind of like scuffing the bottom.
You're just sliding along.
Yeah. Like I wasn't like actually picking up my knees like a normal runner would, but I made it through, right? But during those 3 miles, it was really hard for me to just keep moving. It was like I would run 100 meters and then my body would just stop running. Like it was just like without control of my body, it would just peter out and I would just be all of a sudden not running anymore. Mm. And so I'd like walk 5 paces and then just muster all of the exertion that I had within me to start jogging again. Right. And that took a lot of self-coaching of like, I could walk this whole thing and nobody would really know unless I post my times, which my times were very slow. And I will, I'm sure I will. But just knowing like, no, I want this. I want to be jogging this. Right. Mm. And so then I finished the 24 and I'm just feeling so proud of myself. I'm like really exhausted. I'm feeling so proud of myself.
At that point, you know, you're finishing.
Yeah.
Right? Like you knew, you were like, it's a done deal. Like,
yeah. I'm but I really believed that miles 25 and 26 and 0.2.
You'd be like crawling.
Would be really painful. Yeah. I'd either be stopping a lot and then starting a lot or, like needing another 20 minutes between each mile, right? To just like foam roll or whatever. And so I decided to go in and just take a good recovery time. I took like 30 or 40 minutes to just rest. I did another ice bath. And I don't know if I ate something or not.
I don't think you did that time.
And
you had a banana boat.
Oh yeah, I had a banana and peanut butter. And
bread and honey.
Okay, technically. Like, you want me to explain it to you? It's literally a piece of bread with peanut butter, a little dribble of honey, and a
you have to explain it because
rolled up into
I think it's the weirdest thing that a human could eat, but apparently it's a thing that lots of humans eat.
Yeah, I just figured it'd be good because I was really exhausted. It had potassium, a little bit of protein, some carbs.
Okay.
It just seemed useful.
Banana boat.
Yeah. So, but then it was time for me to go out and run. Two more miles. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to finish. And so I'm confirming with you, like, are you guys going to come out at the end? And to kind of cheer me on last mile. And I'm walking out of my back door and literally hobbling down the steps, right? Like waddling down the steps. And when my best friend, like, just comes jumping out, hey, let's do this. And I just started like crying. I gave her a big hug. Are you serious? You're going to run this with me? And I couldn't.
Shout out to Kat Paniagua.
Yeah. I couldn't have run those last 2 miles as strong as I did without her there by my side. Like, I know I could have done it. I know I could have completed it.
Yeah.
But having her there with me and she was keeping me at a good pace and we were just talking. Like, we had a good amount of things to talk about where there was never like, okay, we're just running. Like, we were just talking about each other and each other's lives, how Christmas was, how their service project was, because they just did this incredible service project where they helped completely renovate someone's home that their daughter was is dealing with cancer. So I got to hear about that and about her kids. And she asked me all these questions. I got to talk about things. And so literally we ran both 2 miles. We just ran them. I didn't, there was literally after the first mile, I just asked, hey, can we just walk, you know, this stretch? And we walked probably like 75 meter. Wait, it's 100 meters is the full thing. So probably like 75 meters. And then we ran the last 2 miles really, or 2 miles plus. And.
And you ended strong. You were, yeah, you were.
I mean, what's funny is it was still so slow.
Sure.
Like, when I look back at the video, I could have sworn I was running faster.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was turtling through the finish line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, they were so cute. Matt and the kids, they prepared this ribbon and so that I could run through the ribbon and finish and feel like I really finished, you know, strong. And they, like, pulled up a car, or Kat's husband pulled up a car, so there were lights shining. Because it was dark outside when I finished.
Yeah.
And so I'm just pushing those last like 30 meters. I'm just digging in and pushing like you do in a real, because I ran track, you know, that you like push for the last little bit.
Yeah.
When I watched the video back, I was like, wow, that's really slow, but I felt so strong.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
It was epic.
Yeah.
It was epic. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
One thing I'll just share with, to make it relevant to our network marketing friends, sometimes all you need is a running mate. Right. Sometimes like one person by your side running with you can get you through the hardest times. So if you've lost people on your team or people have quit, or, you know, your company has had issues, or you've had personal challenges in your personal life that keep you or that have caused some struggles and, you know, overlapped into your business. Try to find that running mate, right? Try to find that at least one person who can be not just that accountability person, but like just your buddy, you know, just like that person who's going to be there in those tough times.
Totally.
And sometimes that makes all the difference. So it's once you have, I always say, like, if you're at the very beginning of your network marketing journey, as soon as you have one person who's running with you, that's when it gets really fun.
Totally. Right? Yeah, I love that lesson. That was probably one of the biggest lessons that I learned. Like, I was going to complete it.
Yeah.
Like, my mind was made up. I was pushing through the hard times. Mm-hmm. I was going to do it. But I love that I would have done it very messy, and I would have been crawling through, right? And just the fact that having that partner there with me to cross strong, like, it just made all the difference.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm very tired. So talking is...
That's a lot. That's
a lot.
Hopefully you found some principles and some insights for your own life from this amazing experience.
Yeah.
Shantae is going to publish a vlog on a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And my biggest coaching, like, YouTube channel.
Hope and purpose of, like, talking about this and sharing this with people is that we are coming into the new year, and I feel like this is the time where people are really asking themselves, like, what do I want with my life? Like, what do I want this year to be for me? What do I want this year to mean for me? And you are literally capable of so much more than you could possibly imagine. And I did this to show myself that, and to show others that you literally can do so much more than right now you currently believe that you are capable of. And I love Thomas Edison's quote, where he says that if we did all things that we are capable of doing, we would truly astound ourselves. I think it's the most beautiful thing, because we don't even know what we're capable of. So this process of getting to, like, set goals and work for more, like, that is the process of finding, like, what is it that I am capable of? And if you can imagine it, if you can dream it, you're capable of it.
Wow. Let's end with that.
Awesome. Thanks for being here today.
See you guys in the next episode.
Awesome. If this was helpful for you and you think it might be remotely inspiring to somebody else, please share this episode.
Go to Shantae's Instagram, Shantae Hall, and she'll probably have it in a highlight, the stories. Those will be super fun for you to watch. And stay tuned for the blog.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. See you in the next episode.
Bye, guys.